All right, get ready to do some serious time traveling. Because in this deep dive, we're going to be looking at how the actual ground beneath the feet of ancient civilizations, how that shaped their destiny.
I love that.
We're talking mountains, rivers, deserts.
Yeah.
All playing a starring role in the rise and fall of empires.
Right.
And our guide for this journey is a fascinating lecture. It's an Old Testament background, and it really flips the script on how we view history.
You know, it's amazing how often we overlook the power of geography.
Yeah.
It's like trying to understand a play, you know, without knowing anything about the stage.
Exactly. And speaking of the stage, our first stop is Mesopotamia, you know, the land between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers.
Right.
What's interesting is that while this region was incredibly fertile, it actually received very little rainfall.
That's right. It's almost counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But this lack of rainfall actually spurred some incredible innovation.
Okay, let's unpack this. Yeah. So how did they manage to farm in a place with so little rain?
They created incredibly intricate irrigation systems. Think canals and channels diverting water from the rivers to their fields. Mm. And the sheer scale of these systems meant that people had to work together, requiring a level of communal effort that was unheard of at the time.
So these irrigation systems weren't just about getting water to crops. They were also driving social change.
Absolutely.
And the growth of cities.
Absolutely. These cities became centers of population and innovation, attracting skilled workers and giving rise to some of the earliest forms of urban planning. It's no coincidence that Mesopotamia is often called the cradle of civilization.
That's amazing. This makes me think about like how certain places today, like Silicon Valley, become hubs for innovation because they attract so much talent and resources. So in a way, Mesopotamia was like the Silicon Valley of the ancient world.
Yeah.
Fueled by agriculture instead of tech.
That's a great analogy, but there's a catch to this story.
Yeah.
This agricultural success had a hidden cost, one that would ultimately contribute to Mesopotamia's decline.
Ooh, I love a good plot twist. Tell me more.
Over centuries, the constant irrigation with mineral-rich river water led to a buildup of salt in the soil, a process known as salinization. Imagine pouring salt on a garden. Eventually, nothing can grow.
So they essentially poison their own land.
Yeah, that's a sobering thought. Makes you wonder if they realized what they were doing to their environment.
It does.
It's hard to know for sure, but it's a powerful reminder that even the most ingenious solutions can have unintended consequences.
Definitely a lesson worth remembering, especially as we grapple with our own environmental challenges today. Okay, let's shift gears geographically. We're leaving the plains of Mesopotamia and we're heading west to Israel. Now, picture a land of dramatic contrasts. Soaring mountains, fertile valleys, and a rugged coastline, all packed into a surprisingly small area.
And within this small area, you have an incredible diversity of microclimates. You could experience snow in Jerusalem one day and then travel just a few miles to the Jordan Valley and find yourself surrounded by banana trees.
Wow, that's incredible. Talk about packing a variety of clothes for your trip.
Mm.
But seriously, with all these different microclimates, was it even possible to have consistent agriculture in a place like that?
It was challenging, that's for sure.
Right.
While some areas were suitable for grain crops, the land was ideally suited for cultivating grapes and olives.
Okay, so we're talking wine country and olive oil production. These sound like high-value crops compared to the grain-based diet of the Mesopotamians.
Exactly. And unlike grain, which could be difficult to store for long periods, grapes could be dried into raisins and olives could be pressed into oil, providing valuable resources year-round.
That makes me think about how different environments can lead to totally different culinary traditions.
Mm-hmm.
But all this geographic diversity had to pose some challenges too, right?
Absolutely. The varied terrain with its challenging travel routes and scattered resources made it difficult for the Israelite tribes to unite and maintain a cohesive society. This is a recurring theme throughout the Old Testament, and it really highlights how geography can influence political and social dynamics.
That's fascinating. It makes you wonder, why, out of all the places in the world, would this be the land God chose for his people?
And that question takes us to a deeper level of analysis. To understand the significance of Israel's geography, we need to explore the concept of dependency and how it shaped the Israelite worldview. But that's a conversation for our next segment, so stay tuned.
Welcome back. We're picking up our exploration of how ancient landscapes shaped history, specifically in Israel. We've already talked about how its diverse geography made it a challenging place to unite, but now I'm really curious about this concept of dependency you mentioned.
Well, remember how the rainfall in Israel was unpredictable? It wasn't like Mesopotamia with its steady rivers.
Right.
This meant that the Israelites were heavily reliant on God's blessing for a good harvest.
So it wasn't just about the land itself. It was about their relationship with God as well.
Exactly. Obedience brought abundance. Disobedience brought drought and famine.
Huh.
This idea of dependence is woven throughout the Old Testament.
Now that you mention it, it reminds me of the story of Exodus. When the Israelites wandered the desert for 40 years,
yeah.
They were completely reliant on God for food and water.
That's a perfect example. Yeah. And even after they settled in the Promised Land, their survival depended on their faithfulness to God's covenant.
Okay, so this idea of dependency wasn't just some abstract theological concept. It was a lived reality shaped by the land itself.
Absolutely. And you can see how this might have influenced their worldview and their relationship with their leaders.
It's like their entire society was built on this foundation of dependence on God and the land. But didn't this dependence also make them vulnerable? I mean, what if the rains failed or a neighboring empire decided to invade?
That's a great question. And it's something that Israelites grappled with constantly. Think about the stories of kings like David and Solomon. Their success wasn't just about military strength.
Right.
It was also about their perceived favor with God.
So their legitimacy as rulers was tied to this idea of divine blessing and the prosperity of the land. Wow, that's a lot of pressure.
It certainly was. But there's another fascinating dimension to Israel's geography that we need to consider. Its strategic location.
Right. We touched on this earlier. It's situated on a land bridge connecting three continents. Did you say something about it being a strategic crossroads?
Exactly. Israel sat at the intersection of major trade routes and was constantly caught in the crossfire of empires vying for control of the region.
Okay, so not just dependent on God for rain, but also on the whims of powerful empires. It sounds like a pretty precarious position to be in.
It certainly was. But this strategic location also had a profound impact on the Israelites' role in the ancient world.
You mean beyond just trying to survive?
Yes. Think about it. They weren't tucked away in isolation like Mesopotamia. They were constantly interacting with different cultures and ideas.
So instead of being shaped solely by their own environment, they were influenced by a melting pot of different traditions and beliefs.
Precisely. And this exposure to the wider world played a key role in the development of their unique religious and cultural identity.
This is making me think about how modern-day Israel is still a place where different cultures and religions intersect. It's like this ancient pattern is still playing out today.
That's a great observation. But let's not forget about the Israelites' impact on the environment. Their relationship with the land wasn't always harmonious.
Oh, right. We touched on this in the last segment. What were some of the ways they impacted their surroundings?
Well, one of the most significant challenges was deforestation. Remember how we talked about the forests of Israel providing valuable resources for building materials, fuel, and even shipbuilding?
Wait, shipbuilding? I thought Israel wasn't exactly known for its naval power.
Well, they did have a coastline along the Mediterranean Sea. And while they may not have been a major maritime force, they certainly needed ships for trade and defense.
Okay, that makes sense. But I'm guessing all this shipbuilding led to some serious deforestation.
Unfortunately, yes. The source material mentions how the cedars of Lebanon, just north of Israel, were highly prized for their strength and durability, making them perfect for building ships. But they were over-harvested to the point of near extinction.
So even back then, people were struggling to balance their needs with the sustainability of the environment. Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It highlights the fact that while technology and societies may change, the fundamental challenge of managing resources responsibly remains a constant.
It's like this ancient story is holding up a mirror to our own environmental dilemmas today. But did the Israelites also develop some innovative agricultural techniques?
Absolutely. They became masters of terracing hillsides to prevent erosion and created sophisticated irrigation systems to maximize water use, especially in arid regions like the Negev Desert.
So they weren't just depleting resources. They were also finding ways to work with the land sustainably. It sounds like they had a pretty complex relationship with their environment.
Very much so. And that complexity is reflected in their religious beliefs and cultural practices. They weren't just trying to conquer nature. They were trying to live in harmony with it.
Okay, so we talked about dependency, strategic location, and the environmental impact of ancient Israel. It sounds like their story is full of contradictions and complexities.
It certainly is. And it's these contradictions that make their story so relevant for us today. But to fully unpack that relevance, we need to shift our focus to the lasting legacy of these ancient landscapes and their enduring lessons for our modern world.
Sounds intriguing. Let's dive into that in our final segment. Don't go anywhere. Okay, so we're back for our final segment in this deep dive into ancient landscapes. We've explored Mesopotamia, the cradle of civilization, and we delved into the complexities of life in ancient Israel. But now it's time to bring it all home. What can we learn from these ancient stories? What wisdom can we glean from the successes and failures of those who came before us?
You know, it's fascinating to consider how these ancient civilizations grappled with challenges that are still relevant today. For example, we talked about soil salinization in Mesopotamia. It's a stark reminder that even the most brilliant solutions can have unintended consequences.
Yeah.
If we don't consider the long-term impact on the environment.
Right. It's like they were trying to solve one problem, but ended up creating another, even bigger problem down the line.
Right.
And sadly, we see this happening all the time today, right?
Right.
We develop new technologies, we exploit resources, and sometimes we fail to fully grasp the ripple effects of our actions.
Absolutely. But we also have the benefit of hindsight. We can learn from the mistakes of the past and strive to make more sustainable choices for the future. And I think that's one of the most powerful takeaways from this deep dive. It's not just about understanding history. It's about using that knowledge to inform our present and shape our future.
Yeah, I love that. It's like we're time travelers, gathering wisdom from the past to navigate the challenges of the present. So beyond learning from their mistakes, are there any positive lessons we can draw from these ancient civilizations?
Definitely. Think about the Israelites and their incredible agricultural innovations. They were forced to adapt to a challenging environment, and in doing so, they developed sophisticated techniques for terracing hillsides, managing water resources, and cultivating crops that thrived in their specific region.
Right, so they were pioneers of sustainable agriculture.
Yeah.
They had to figure out how to work with nature, not against it, in order to survive. And, you know, that ingenuity, that resourcefulness is something we desperately need today as we face a growing global population and the challenges of climate change.
Precisely. It's not just about lamenting the mistakes of the past. It's about recognizing the human capacity for innovation and finding creative solutions to the problems we face. And I think that's a really empowering message.
Absolutely. It gives me hope to think that we can draw inspiration from those who came before us and apply their ingenuity to our own challenges. But it's not just about technology, right? We also need to shift our mindset, our relationship with the planet.
You're absolutely right. And that brings us to another key lesson from the ancient world, the concept of stewardship. You know, in many ancient cultures, the land was seen as a sacred gift, something to be cherished and protected, not just exploited.
Like, they understood that they were caretakers of something much bigger than themselves.
Right.
That they had a responsibility to future generations.
Exactly. And I think that idea of stewardship is more relevant now than ever. It's not just about preserving nature for nature's sake. It's about recognizing that a healthy planet is essential for human well-being. It's about understanding that we're all interconnected and that our actions have far-reaching consequences.
Right. It's a powerful reminder that we're not just inheritors of this planet. We're also its guardians. We have a moral obligation to care for it and pass it on to future generations in a better state than we found it. But that's a huge task. It can feel overwhelming, especially when you look at the scale of the environmental challenges we face.
I understand that feeling. It's easy to get discouraged. But I think it's important to remember that we don't have to do this alone. Remember the Mesopotamians and their massive irrigation systems? They required a level of collaboration and communal effort that was unprecedented at the time. And that same spirit of cooperation is what we need today.
Right. So it's not just about individual actions. It's about working together.
Right.
Pooling our resources and knowledge to tackle these global challenges.
Exactly. It's about governments, businesses, communities, and individuals all coming together to find solutions. And I think that's another powerful lesson from the ancient world. We're not just isolated individuals. We're part of a larger human story. And we have the collective wisdom and ingenuity to overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacles.
That's a message of hope that I think we all need to hear right now. It's a reminder that even in the face of daunting challenges, we have the power to shape a better future. Not just for ourselves, but for generations to come. So as we wrap up this incredible deep dive, what's the one thought you want to leave our listeners with?
As you navigate the complexities of the modern world, remember that you are standing on the shoulders of giants. Draw inspiration from the past, embrace the power of innovation, and remember that we're all in this together. The choices we make today will ripple through time, shaping the landscape of the future. Choose wisely, act boldly, and never underestimate the power of collective action.
Wow, what a powerful way to end this journey. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and for reminding us that even ancient history can offer valuable lessons for our modern lives. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you've gained some new perspectives and perhaps even a renewed sense of hope for the future. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep learning from the stories of those who came before us.